Hi, I'm Adam Sanford. I'm an academic life coach and professor in Los Angeles.
And I'm Dinur Bloom. I'm a college professor in Los Angeles. And this is Learning Made Easier, a podcast where we discuss how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
Welcome back to Learning Made Easier. You're listening to the COVID-19 special episodes.
This podcast is about effective learning and effective teaching. And now we all have to do this with a new wrinkle provided by COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, which is sweeping the world in a pandemic, the likes of which we have not seen since AIDS, polio, and the 1918 Spanish flu.
As a result of COVID-19, many universities, colleges, and K-12 schools have either closed down or moved to distance learning, which for most teachers means going online. In this special COVID-19 series, we'll unpack some of the major issues teachers and students are facing, as well as ways to deal with these issues.
Now, please note, we are not going to pull punches here. We are going to be direct and blunt about what can be done and what can't be done. We're not going to be able to tell you how to keep things just the way they used to be. That's not possible. So with that in mind, let's move forward.
This is our sixth episode in the series, How to Help Students Who Don't Have Access to Tech or Internet. In an ideal world, all of our students have access to consistently strong, high-speed internet connections and a device they can use to access the internet and take tests or write papers, such as a computer. Coronavirus has changed that. Our students may be scrambling to work longer hours or to find new jobs if their old job shut its doors. They may be taking care of family or neighbors, obligations that they just did not have before this pandemic hit. And where they live may have spotty internet access or a lack of available devices to access the internet. After all, what good is a strong connection if you can't make use of it?
Remember, some of our students were accessing the internet and things like word processors, spreadsheets, and other programs from the computers in the computer labs on campus. If not, they might have been accessing some of this from their local public library. Maybe they're sharing a computer now with mom, dad, both of their younger brothers, and their older sister, all of whom either have work or school stuff they have to do on the one family computer in the household. If your campus is shut down, or if they've had to go home, a lot of the tools that used to be available to them just aren't there anymore. Now, we're getting a lot of emails from students saying, my internet is gone, or I don't have it, or I'm sharing it with seven other people, and I can't get online for lectures, or I can't even watch the videos. I don't have enough bandwidth. I don't have enough data on my phone. This is not an excuse, folks. This is a reality. This is what's happening to them. Because really, do you think a student would send an email like that if that wasn't what was going on? Most of our students are motivated to finish their classes. And yes, okay, there's always going to be a few who aren't, but we shouldn't assume that all of our students are the one who's trying to get around us and find a way to find shortcuts or get extensions just to get shortcuts or extensions. So, what can we as faculty do to help these students?
Well, one, if you post your materials online, offer a way to do the work that's kind of easy and kind of light on the bandwidth. So one suggestion is post your tests as a Word document rather than using the learning management system. Give your students a rough timing guidelines for the test. Say you've got about an hour to take this or an hour and a half, but be lenient in terms of how strictly you focus on their timing because, like we've said, they may not have access to a strong connection and or to a device to actually take that test. So this means you may have to change up some of your questions for future courses if you're afraid that students are gonna post your questions and answer somewhere. And students, we know some of you do this. Don't do that, please.
The other thing is, even in the regular semester, students are going to do that. So we should all be editing our questions for future courses every time the course finishes. That should just be one of the things you do at the end of your course. Go grab your test banks and start editing and changing them. Now, another thing you can do is if you've got students who have no access, like they don't even have a smartphone, they don't even really have access to email, maybe their message to you has been a phone call, then run the class for them as if it's a correspondence course. Mail them their materials in the postal mail and ask them to mail it back to you. But keep in mind, this means additional expenses for them and for you because of postage. And remember, there's going to be a lag of several days between the time that you send something and the time that someone receives it. So if an assignment is date sensitive, like this test has to be done by this date for the final course grade, then you might need to make a consideration about that and maybe just say, you know what? I've decided that this very time sensitive assignment is not going to count. It's not going to be counted in this class at all. But you've got to make that consideration if your student no longer has access to the internet. Give them alternate ways of reaching you too. So make sure that they have a text number. You can set up a remind system and have them sign in. You can sign in, and then nobody knows each other's text numbers, but you know that this came from John Smith, and he knows that this came from Dr. Sanford. Let them have a phone number. One way to do this is to go to Google Voice and set up a Google Voice number and then have it forward to your cell phone so that you can actually, and you can actually have a Google Voice number forward, not just phone calls, but also text messages to your cell phone. The students will never have your cell phone number. Just go to Google Voice online and respond to them or call them from Google Voice and get back to them. Email, if they are able at all to get on email, maybe give them email once or twice a week. Just check every day and send them an email and say, hey, John, I haven't heard from you in 3 days. Everything all right? And postal mail. Even though postal mail sounds so archaic, if you have to set up your class as a correspondence course, that may be the way to go.
For students who need and ask for it, be willing to offer them an incomplete or withdrawal grade. Now, the incomplete gives students up to a year to complete their coursework. The assumption is that they finish the work once things settle down a bit and they're able to focus on school then. And in the interim, they're focusing on more pressing needs right now. Withdrawal lets them drop the course without it affecting their grade point average. And some students may need to drop your course since they're now slammed with a lot more work and new responsibilities than they had been before schools closed. And one thing that's a lot easier to say than to believe is don't take it personally if students do this. It's not necessarily a you problem, it's a situation problem. And right now, there are a lot more demands on their time and on their attention than there were just a few short weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
If your institution has extended the date to drop, let your students know that because they may need to. Right now, what we're trying to do is meet their needs, not necessarily force them to get through our class when they are taking care of an aging grandmother who has come down with COVID-19. All right, we really don't want to be that jerk. And if your institution has not extended the final drop date, you might want to reach out to your administration and say, hey, folks, we've got a lot of students who are suddenly really piled on. We might want to extend this due date. But I will say that at most institutions at this point, if you haven't extended the due date for the W's are probably allowed if there's some catastrophic situation. And I'm sorry, but what are we looking at with COVID-19 if not a catastrophic situation? And finally, if you have course lecture videos and a student just can't access them because their bandwidth is too small or they're sharing it with 5 other people or their data cap has not been extended on their cell phone or whatever, then send them written copies of transcripts and slide sets to them in email. Because this allows them to get the material they need to learn from, especially if your course is lecture heavy. I have at least one student who will probably need this accommodation, so I'm gonna have some work to do.
So what I've been doing is I've been posting my materials online. I've always posted my slides for my students on our learning management system, and now I'm recording my lectures on there. And it's not an ideal situation, but this whole situation is far from ideal. The other things I'm doing in order to help my students, especially those without tech, is I'm accepting late assignments without a penalty. I've had a lot of students freak out and go, are we following the syllabus's dates strictly? And I said, no, we're using them as guidelines. I'd like to try and get through this material, but if you need extra time on a draft or extra time before you can take a test, just let me know and I'm happy to grant that for you. In general, I'm very happy to offer my students either withdrawals or incompletes if they come to me and let me know. Otherwise, in a previous episode, I said that our campus shut down about halfway through the semester. And so I'm using the grade earned up until campus closing as kind of my student's grade floor. So their grade cannot go below what they have up until that point. It can either stay the same or it can go up. I've given my students my own cell phone number, and I normally don't give that out because in case they can't get to a computer and they need to reach me to ask something, they can text me and let me know if there's a problem. And that way, I'm making myself available through the learning management system. I'm available through email, and now they can also text me.
Now, I'm also posting all my materials online, but because I flip my classrooms, I always did. So that includes recorded video lectures. It includes all the assignments. It includes any readings that they have that aren't the textbook. For me, that's just a given. Now, students who can't access my videos are going to get written transcripts of the videos with slide sets so they can read what I said in lecture and see how it goes with the slides. I'm also trying to give students the benefit of the doubt wherever I can. If they tell me they can't download something or they can't see it when they log in because bandwidth won't allow them to load it, I find another way. I've also switched all my courses to at your own pace scheduling. And yes, that may mean a lot of grading at the end of the term. But I've also let my students know I will only be accepting a certain number of assignments during the last week of school, and they do need to turn in at least some of their work before that. I have been saying, change to at your own pace grading. I've had people say, but then I'll have to grade 1,000 things at the end of the semester. This is when you develop rubrics. We actually have episodes about how to do that. All right, this is when you let everything as much as you can be auto-graded by the LMS. So if it's a quiz or if it's a questionnaire, make the LMS grade it. And just try to make sure that you're as flexible as you can be with those due dates, because that will take a lot of stress off your students who are really under stress right now. Now, the ethical issues that we're facing here, again, this seems to be split between do we default to kindness or do we default to rigor for most people. Let's just say this. Right now, during this crisis, Denora and I strongly recommend erring on the side of kindness. So please stop assuming that your students are trying to take advantage of this situation. The chances of that are relatively low. It is a lot more likely that their available time has been cut in half or even cut down to a quarter of what it used to be. And now they are stressing out to complete their work without a lot of guidance for 4 or 5 other courses, not just yours.
And Adam and I have some recommendations for 3 groups. People who have the ability to be online without any problems, people who can be online but with some difficulty, and people who cannot get online. So for students who are able to be online without any problems, this might be a pretty smooth transition. It's not the same interaction as a face-to-face class, but they can access your recorded lectures and whatever materials you post relatively easily, and they can contact you via email or the learning management system.
And if you know they're going to be online, then you can, for the students, because you know that there's going to be a lot of students who really, really need that kind of interaction and discussion. Well, I am considering switching some of my online office hours from office hours to study halls, so that it's open, I'm there to ask questions if they need to ask questions, but they can also get together with their classmates in the same Zoom room as where my office hours are being held. And I am going to send out a question or form, a Google form to my students this week to say, okay, how many of you would like to have the opportunity to get together with your classmates at least some of the time? And of these office hour times, which one would work best for you if I changed it from office hours to study hall? And then I'm just gonna hold office hours open for the students who can get online easily and who really do need that chit chat and that back chatter and that, can I talk over with somebody else and then somebody else and somebody else and get their feedback? Because often that's how our students learn best. And so right now we really need to adjust the way that we set up the course so that they can get into a real-time situation if they're able to. Now, for the students who can be online but have some difficulty, maybe they can get into the learning management system, but they can't stream the videos. They can take the exam online, but they can't look at the lectures. These are the students where we really need to offer our classes as a hybrid email or correspondence and online course. We can also scale down the expectations to what they can reasonably complete. So effectively, this is having flexible standards instead of strict standards. And so we are, again, saying default to kindness rather than rigor. You should also offer some other ways they can contact you besides email, because if their online access is spotty, their email access is spotty. So again, you get a Google Voice number so they can call you and text you, or set up Remind so that the whole class can use text messages to communicate. You can also set up a channel on Slack for chat, and that's a good method to help students stay in touch. I believe that Slack has a phone app, so even if all they have is a phone, they can get on the chat channel and get an almost real-time conversation with you or with one of their classmates to say, help, I'm working on Lab 7 and I am just completely confused.
And for the students who absolutely cannot get online and they can't do this class as a correspondence course, offer them the incomplete or the withdrawal. If the students really need that grade and campus isn't going to a pass-fail system, then see if you can offer them the correspondence course. The incomplete allows them to retake your class, but it also gives them additional time to complete the work, even if they don't retake your class.
And the withdrawal, of course, it's kind of like an academic bankruptcy. You're saying, okay, we're going to wipe this and you're going to start over next fall.
So this is what we have for you for this special episode of Learning Made Easier. Please send this to other professionals and students who may be facing these issues. The easiest link to share is probably our Patreon, patreon.com/learningmadeeasier. If you're able to support us right now, we would really appreciate it.
And please join us next time for our next COVID-19 episode, where we'll talk about how our students didn't sign up for this any more than we did.
And we'll see you then.
Please join us next Thursday for our next COVID-19 episode, where we'll talk about how our students didn't sign up for this any more than we did.
And we'll see you then.
You've been listening to Learning Made Easier, a podcast about how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
We want to say thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon who make this podcast possible.
If you want to support us, please go to www.patreon.com/learningmadeeasier.
And we look forward to seeing you next week.